Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the WEEI afternoon program. Andy Hart here in the one chair because the big guy, big Christian Arcan, the big bad mouth that sits in this chair usually
has a little bit of a sore throat, so he had to stay home today.
And joining me now after 2 hours of fun with Fitzy, we get two more hours of fun with Mego.
Yeah, I'm back.
You are very popular on the text line and the Twitch chat. There was like exclamation point. Mego!
It's like being the backup quarterback. You're the most popular person because nobody ever sees you.
That's kind of true.
That's completely true.
Good analogy or comparison.
Yeah, when
for that
I was
job.
On here every day, all the texts were worst voice ever, so annoying.
What's the GM's name? Elliot what?
So dumb. And then you go away for a while.
Come today
you come
and
back.
They're like, boy, you look good. Love Mego. That's a great point.
It's the reality of it.
So will Jacoby Brissett be very popular soon?
Probably.
I don't think so, and I hope
only,
not.
If you win some games, no.
Right. So we're looking to win some games. So when you want to win some games, you bring on a guy who is probably in my top 10 for most favorite Boston sports media members. Maybe top 5, depending on the day.
I'm surprised you have 10.
Yeah, that's
true. That you would say are your favorites.
You know me too well. I don't really like 10 people in the media. But he is.
Number 9 is the guy person who rubbed your back?
Oh, probably. It was a woman.
Sure.
Let's just make sure. It was a woman. And it was not Mike Giardi, who is not a woman, but he is joining us now from Boston Sports Media. He is the man who knows all about the Patriots. So I'm going to start, Mike Giardi. First of all, thanks for joining us. You're on with Jumbo Hart and Mego. How's it going today?
I've had a lot of time with Mego today. We were hanging out in Foxborough before this, so maybe probably give the Twitch chat the no, I did not. Chris Price didn't either.
Nobody should be rubbing anybody. Nobody should be rubbing anybody in the locker room. I think that should be a rule for players, media, yes. Coaches, everybody. Mike Giardi. So a simple question I started the show today with from a fan perspective, not from a player perspective, because I know every player when they take the field, they try to kick the ass most of the time of the person across from them, unless they make a business decision when Derrick Henry is running their way on the goal line or something like that. Do you believe Patriots fans should be rooting for the Patriots to win or lose on Sunday in London against the likewise 1-5 Jags?
You want to win. Like, that's what you do this for. Like, ooh. And I understand the big picture, and you want the first pick or whatever it is that you're thinking about at this point. But, like, these guys need to see some progress that shows up in the win column. They've lost 5 in a row. They sneaky kind of got their ass kicked in a bunch of these games. And your new coaching staff that hasn't been awesome thus far, you know, really would love one. So I think it's important for the program in general to come away with a victory just to get some better vibes. And hey, the work we're putting in is finally paying off.
Mike, what do you think the Patriots can do? We hear about them trying to start fast. What do you think they can do for Drake May in terms of play calling to get him feeling confident, settled, and able to start fast in the game against Jacksonville?
Yeah, you'd like some easy throws right out of the gate, whether even if it's something as simple as a tunnel screen to a wide receiver or something like that, a quick hitter to someone in the flat, just to sort of, okay, we got that over with. We got the, you know, I can throw the ball 100 miles an hour. He still caught it. It's my first completion, and now let's move on. But it was kind of interesting to me that people got upset about the first two play calls in the game the other day. And I was kind of glad that Gerard Mayo brought up the point today that, you know, we were starting a guy that we signed 5 days ago to be our center, and he was playing with a rookie quarterback who was making his first start. Like, let them just sort of get into the game a little bit. Okay, we can do this now. We manage this. Now we can start to expand our playbook. There was actual booing in the stands. It didn't make – I understand wanting to see May throw the ball, but, like, relax. There are other circumstances sort of at play.
So there was a assertion, a threat, a warning, whatever it was from Gerard Mayo today. There's going to be changes. There's going to be changes in the starting lineup. We were just bandying about some names. I think an obvious sort of big name, quote unquote, would be Polk at the wide receiver position. But I think there's other possibilities. Do you have an idea, A, who some of those other names we might talk about would be, and B, do you think it works? Do you think this is a good tactic for Gerard Mayo?
I think he has already sort of gone into the bag pretty deeply to try to figure out how to correct some of the issues that his football team has had over the first 6 weeks. I would suggest to you, and it's not a big name, but that Raekwon McMillan is probably going to spend more time on the bench than he is on the field. His run fits have been pretty disastrous the last few weeks, and he's been part of the group, because it's never just been one person, but been part of the group that has allowed some huge chunk plays in the run game in recent weeks. I would think that would be a place. And for Polk, I too, like, I'm one of those guys. I didn't like KJ Osborne getting all the snaps he got early in the year. I say, just keep rolling Polk out there. But he's got a confidence problem right now. So between that and sort of some of the actions that he showed on the field against San Francisco, walking off the field while play was still going on, or then, of course, he should have gotten his feet in bounds and didn't, and then is at the 50-yard line exhorting the crowd to boo the referees in the Miami game. Like, he might need just a little timeout. You know, like, take a little break. I'm not saying, like, keep him on the bench for the entire game, but, like, dude, you're not playing that great, and, like, this is pro football now. Like, you got to be better. And he's, you know, kind of gone in the wrong direction here. I think he's been targeted 25 times and has 9 catches.
That's not all on him,
but that's not good.
Gerard Mayo was asked whether the Patriots were in on Davante Adams or Amari Cooper, at least just kicking the tires, and he said no. He said they're kind of, to paraphrase, in a different stage of development or in a different place compared to the Bills and the Jets. Did that answer surprise you in either that they weren't in on any of those conversations or that they said, Gerard said, we're in a different position?
I think, Mego, you've been around for training camp, and Andy was before he became the number one chair on the afternoon show.
Thanks for noticing.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, you're doing a hell of a job, bang-up job there.
Thanks.
That Gerard had said multiple times, he either said it directly or left breadcrumbs, like, we know it's not about this year. They know that their roster is in such a place that, you know, as I said, I think when I did the cutdowns, I was like, it's probably 42, 43 guys that belong on the roster. And you still have to add 10 more guys on the roster to get to the limit. You know, like, that's just sort of where they're at from their roster build. So I think he's been telling you all along that the roster's not good enough, and it's not about this year. It's about development of the young players and the culture that he wants to reestablish here. And then you start talking about, oh, should we make this move or that move? And when it comes to those two players, Devontae's going to be 32 in December. Cooper's on the other side of 30 as well. Like, they don't make sense for your timeline. Brandon Ayuk was a different story, right? Because he's 26, going to be 27, and you sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal. You're assuming you're on the way up, you know, when he's still in his prime. With these guys, they're on the back end of their prime, maybe even out of their prime. It doesn't. It made no sense. It really didn't to add that guy and give up a second or a third round pick. Come on, not for this team.
So we have another, I guess, police blotter incident for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. With Christian Barmore. I haven't seen it yet, but apparently now there's video that is the police video. What do you make of that situation, other than the obvious that it's clearly a bad look for a guy who should be a foundational player of this team moving forward with a $90 million contract, who, oh, by the way, isn't on the active roster and should be looking to, I don't know, stay out of trouble until he gets back to work. Well, like, what's your takeaway? Is there a culture issue here? And I don't love to bring that up because I think there are arrests under Bill Belichick, and I think there's arrests under every coach in America. But what do you make of this sort of continued thing that's going on with their ties to the police?
Yeah, a little immaturity here is kind of the first thing I thought of. And look, I haven't seen the video yet. I only read the police report and wrote it up for Boston Sports Journal. And we only have the one side of Barmore's story, which was the tweet that has been deleted, you know, where he accuses the Providence police of racism. But other than that, like, we don't know the full story. So I don't want to, without having get into the video, like, sort of give you my thoughts on it. I mean, my big takeaways from it. But I would just say, like, 1 o'clock in a known drug area in Providence. You know, they talked about the rolling stop, which is in police terms is like someone in the car is trying to put something away that we're not supposed to see. Like, it just, you know, it's immature. It was a silly thing to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Doing at that point, like, not saying he can't live his life or anything like that, but just guess you got to be smarter. And then obviously there was hostility between he and the police from pretty much from jump. And look, I'm not a black man. I haven't lived through however long, you know, 100 years of feeling like the police haven't treated me properly. But that's, that has to enter into the conversation, or at least in his thought process as this is all happening.
There's no way to transition out of that answer, so I'm going to go to something completely
different.
No. Completely.
Are you a black man, Megan?
Not to my knowledge. So I, like everybody else, was a little frustrated and underwhelmed by the run game on Sunday. If Ramondre Stevenson continues to be too banged up, injured to play in London, what do they do to find some answers in order to balance out their offense?
Yeah, they just need better. They should need better blocking up front. And obviously that not only has it been an issue in pass blocking for the entirety of the season, Mego, but it's been, you know, bits and pieces here and there where it has been ineffective in the run game as well. So, you know, it looks like we could be headed for another change too, if Fedarian Lowe can't go, which I was told it's more day to day than week to week, but no guarantee that he's ready to go by Sunday. And that could mean, and went back to right tackle, and Jacobs from right tackle to left tackle. And so once again, you know, that would make what would be 7 weeks in, and then you'd be in your sixth offensive line combination, which is certainly not, well, actually seventh because of the Ben Brown thing. So that's bad. Like, you can't live that way and expect that it's going to look good on a week in, week out basis.
Speaking of that offensive line, I have a, and this is a serious question. It sounds like talk radio type question, but this is a serious question I have. Is Elliott Wolf that bad at evaluating offensive line talent, and he legitimately thought he had put together a representative depth chart on the line, or was he sneaky tanking?
That's a good question. I would hope he's not sneaky tanking. I think the evaluation.
I would hope he's not that bad at picking offensive linemen.
Yeah, that would be a problem, right? Because you're definitely going to be in the market for
yes. at least
one, probably more than one in this offseason. And it's interesting to go back on that, Andy, just a little bit. Like, I wrote about it around the draft. I actually just tweeted about it this week because there was some like, oh, I think that the offensive line, like, what was he supposed to do? And people around the league felt like they got caught with their pants around their ankles around draft time when the run on the second wave of tackles happened. Mm-hmm. And they ended up with a guy who some people actually think in Caden Wallace is a guard, not a tackle. And they were trying to tell us, and who knows, again, it's still early in his process and development, that he could be a left tackle, having been a right tackle his entirety of his college career. So you have that. Then you have Laydon Robinson, who's been sent to the bench. And there's some promise there. It wasn't all bad when he was starting, but he has a ways to go as well. And you're like, well, you knew what system you were going to run. Allegedly, you targeted players that would work in this system. And thus far, they haven't really worked. So, yeah, I think there has to be a meeting of the minds here and figure out exactly how to approach this and make sure that in this coming off season that they get those swings right, because it's not even just that. Like, so Nick Leverett, like that didn't work. He's been cut. Like they've moved through bodies at the position, and they're signing guys off the waiver wire and starting them 5 days later, off practice squads and signing them 5 days later. That's rough.
Mike, do you have a sense of what the mood on the defense is? I know that's a broad question, but a couple weeks now we've gotten these quotes from Devon Godshall, whether it's on our radio station or mm-hmm. at his locker after games, where he's saying things like players are operating in a way that's selfish, or he feels like players aren't giving the full effort after halftime or the third quarter. Do you find that to be representative of how other guys on defense feel?
I think the defense has opened themselves up to these sort of questions by just how they played. And, I was trying to make the point today and talking to some of the guys about, like, do you feel like because of the injuries, and this is a fan, I've gotten this a lot of pushback from fans when I write about how badly the defense is playing. Well, what did you expect? They don't have Barmore. They don't have Bentley. They don't have Peppers. It's like, okay, but last year they didn't have Gonzalez, Judon. They were missing their corners. John Jones, Marcus Jones gone for much of the year. John Jones missed a lot of time last year. And, like, you ended up as a top 10 defense, DVOA-wise, which is, if you're going to go nerd numbers, that's probably the one that I would use. This year they're 29th, I think, or 28th. Like, I get that there has been a decrease in talent on that side of the ball because of the attrition. But at some point, if you just do your job, as boring as that sounds, it still drove that into our head, but it's true. If 10 guys are doing their job and one guy doesn't do his job and that leads to a 57-yard run, like, okay, what do the other 10 guys say? Like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like, just fill the damn gap, you know, take on the block, string the play out, whatever it may be. And all of a sudden, we're not talking about 57 yards. We're talking about five. And that's much more manageable, right? Mm-hmm. Instead, you're giving up these huge chunk plays week after week after week, especially in the run game, which to me is even more demoralizing than the pass game. Like, somebody can get over the top of somebody. Those guys, you know, super talented, bam, it happens. But when it happens in the run game, everything is so interconnected. And when it really becomes a one- or two-person problem, you're just like, dude, like, again, week after week after week. And this is the part, I think, where you started to see Gerard's frustration, especially boil over after the game on Sunday. Because I think the fact that they gave up 41 points and are giving up chunk plays on a regular basis is offensive to him. And I think you're starting to see, like, I'm a defensive-minded coach, and this is happening to my guys, my team, my hand-chosen defensive coordinator, like the one guy truly on defense and the entire coaching staff, that he said that was his pick and it's not working. Like, that hurts.
Mike, this is a open-ended question before we let you go, and I always hate to go here, but it's the reality of the world we live in. What are the chances Alex Van Pelt is the offensive coordinator next year? What percentage would you put on it?
Yeah, 40%, 42%.
40? Whoa. You think it's below 50% that he's back next year?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a better question than I thought. Do tell.
Well, so I think that look, if Drake takes a big step forward here and Drake continues to speak well of Alex, then Alex's job is probably saved. But by and large, if you continue to look at situations like you did even this past Sunday, where it doesn't appear like they have the necessary answers for the test and he's not maybe utilizing personnel in the right way, then I think they're going to come to a decision at the end of the year. Like, as good as Alex may have done to coach up the future of the franchise, Alex as a play caller and play designer is leaving something to be desired, and we can't go forward with that. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, they wanted Nick Caley. They offered Nick money, and Nick decided to stay as an assistant, not even a coordinator, but an assistant in L.A. with the Rams under McVay for another year than to come here. What's to say you don't make that call again?
Can
in the
I
off season? Yeah, you had another year. Maybe we throw another million onto the fire, and now you know that maybe Drake May can play, and you have something to work with, and maybe that's the thing that says, okay, much like the receivers didn't want to come here, maybe the offense coordinator said, let me see if you actually have something before I actually attach myself to this and try to build an offense out of what's left of the talent on that room.
What about two guys that are currently employed as head coaches? Which would you choose if they were options that became available? Brian Daboll from the Giants, who obviously has ties to New England historically, the old system, or Kevin Stefanski, whose offense the Patriots are already running with Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, I would give me Brian. No. Give me Brian Daboll all day, every day. I spent a lot of time in Buffalo. In my previous life, in my previous job, covering that football team and what he did with Josh Allen. And look, Josh is a special talent, but what he did to help refine that kid. And I think you and I both sort of made the comparison to Drake May and Josh Allen coming out. Obviously not the same sort of, physically, he's still 25 pounds lighter than Josh is, and maybe not the same howitzer arm, but some similarities in the way they move and some of the things that they're able to do creatively, throwing the football. Yeah, give me that guy and let him and Drake, you know, go forward together. I would feel real good about that if I was a Patriot fan.
He is Michael Giardi, and he just gave me something to talk about for a few days with a 40% chance that Alex Van Pelt is back in 2025 as the offensive coordinator of your New England Patriots. Michael, thanks for joining us. We will talk to you soon, and enjoy a beautiful Sunday morning battle between 2-1-win football teams.
it's gonna be awesome, Andrew. It's going to be awesome.
There's a lot on the line. First pick. See you, Mike. He is Mike Giardi.
Yeah,
appreciate it. She is Mego. I am Andy Jumbo Hart. We are the current edition for today anyway, for these 2 hours anyway, of the afternoon program here on WEEI, and we will be back after this.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.